ourselves so obscurely. I'll give you an example. Today, this week, in another job that I had two people who had a problem, had a misunderstanding. And somehow I became involved where they were texting me and various. One person texted me, "Can you believe this happened, such and such and such?" And I'm like, "Oh man, sounds terrible." Then another person texted me about the same thing. And of course, this second person's reading of the situation and events completely different from the other. So the first person texted me about all of these things that had occurred and what they thought should be done about it and the error in the ways of person B. And I said, "Well, you know, I'd be happy to help you any way that I can. I'm happy to pray for you." And they said, "Sometimes prayers aren't enough. Sometimes action's needed." I said, "That's true." And then the second person texted me and said, "Can you believe all these things that happened?" And they laid out what they think should be done and the erroneous actions of person A. And I said, "Well, I feel bad for you guys, and you know, I'll pray for you, and sometimes prayer's not enough, sometimes you need action, but you'll never believe what happened. Both of them thought the action should take place within the other person. Neither one of them was willing to look inside and think, maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe it's me who has the issue. Maybe instead of trying to fix the situation and the other person, maybe I should fix myself and my own perception of the situation." Neither one of them thought that. And I didn't tell either of them to think that because it's not my place. But I wonder how many of us, how many circumstances in my own life where the perceived wrong is out there is really right in here. All of the people that are... Vladimir Putin doesn't think he's the bad guy. All of us think he is, because he is. We all think, how could this evil man do this evil thing that is so evil? But from his perspective, he believes he's the right person doing the right thing. Everybody thinks they're Harry Potter. Nobody thinks they're Voldemort. And yet there are many Voldemorts in the world, if you follow what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit came to us to fix us, to work on us, not them. And the degree of happiness that you find in this world will be proportional to the amount of work you put in on yourself. The whole drama between these two parties could be instantly resolved if they were both willing to look inside themselves and just consider the fact that they might need some growing yet to be done. I wonder how many times that could be said of me. We give ourselves justification to continue holding on to our right, holding on to our unhappiness. When I was a young man, I was convinced that I was going to be a professional basketball player. I had this vision in my mind. And as it became clearer and clearer as I got older that that was not going to happen, instead of re-evaluating or rethinking what a productive and enriching life could be, I changed the dream for bitterness. That makes sense. And the adults around me were talking to me about all the things that I should do. You gotta work hard, you gotta study, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. And as a reasonably good son, I would dutifully shake, you know, nod my head, "Yes, of course. But I was thinking to myself, those rules may apply to everybody else, but they don't apply to me because I'm special. And as I'm giving my life lessons to my students, I see that same look on their face. They cannot understand because they still have the mind of a child, right? When I was 17 years old and my dad was telling me this, that, and the other, I couldn't receive it because I still had growing to do. That makes sense? But I had the arrogance of youth that kept me from growing. We're always continuing to grow. The man that I am now was not the man that I was 10 years ago. Certainly not the man I was when I was But the idea that now here I am, I'm standing up in front of people, telling people about how I like to live, the idea that I've got it figured out, keeps me from continued growth. I gotta humble myself. I gotta look inside myself. And like Judd so eloquently put it, the Holy Spirit has answers to everything if I'm willing to seek them. But I don't seek them. I seek all of the other things out there. The Holy Spirit is inside, compelling me, and I either remain obstinate on purpose or obstinate through ignorance. Does that make sense? I either choose not to do the thing because it's scary, or I don't want to, or I feel like I don't, or I feel like I don't want to. The Holy Spirit might lead me to say, I should do this thing differently, or I should do this thing differently. But I like doing those things. So I justify it. Hey, maybe you spend too much time playing video. Maybe you spend too much time doing this. Maybe you don't spend enough time doing this. Maybe you should add some more time to your prayer time. Yeah, but I'm already busy. Yeah, man. Think of all these things out here that I've got to do. And they're just quiet. So I choose not to listen to it. Or I don't listen because I'm not even here, because I'm not spending the time. It is important to work on yourself first before everyone else, for your own good, for your own growth. It's good. The two people that I was referring to earlier, they think that if the other person would just do what they're saying, then the problem would be resolved and the happiness would continue and grow. But they don't understand that even if that other person were to change for them, because of the kind of person they are, they'll just find another thing to complain about. I've worked in restaurants for many, many years. I cannot tell you how many rude people I've met. And every single one of them thought they were the right thing. They were the agreed party. If only I had done my job better. If only I had listened more closely. If only the cook had cooked it better. If only this, that, and the other. But that person is going to be miserable everywhere they go. Because even if I bring them out the new pasta Alfredo, there'll be another thing, because they're constantly looking for their happiness out there. And it's never going to be out there. You're never going to find it. I want the new iPhone. Is the new iPhone going to make me happy? No, because there will be an iPhone 15, which I want and need. Don't you understand, Hector? This one's got a new camera. In here. This is where I go. And if I tend to it, even this old dumpy phone with its camera that's not even as good as the other camera, I could find happiness in it. I could find peace in it. If I'm tending to business in here, we gotta rethink the way we look at things. It would be easy for people in a church this small to look at the people who are not here. But I'm concerned with the people who are here. If I'm concerned with the people who aren't here, even if you added 100 more, in that spirit, in that outlook on life, there's never going to be enough. Ever. As a young man, think about how many freedoms and how many strengths you have in youth. 18 years old, I can eat anything and be fine. No stress, no worry, and yet I was miserable. I tried to find happiness and peace through people, through things. But there was never going to be enough. Never enough alcohol, never enough women, never enough money, never enough anything. If that's where you're looking for your happiness, if I can find a measure or a degree of happiness in here, then anything that comes after that is gravy. Anything that comes after that just adds to it. Don't let the devil lie to you, steal from you. He's stolen so much. He's stolen so much. But I'm not going to let him anymore. I'm not going to. because the Holy Spirit will remind me. And when he comes to take more of my happiness, when he comes to take more of my peace, when he comes and tries to lie to me about the things that I'm lacking, because I'm persistent in my prayer time and my relationship with the Holy Spirit, he reveals those lies to me. He points out the traps, and I'm able to avoid them better. I was reading this book about how to find happiness. And it gives you different practices or strategies. And one of the things it said was, smile. Every time you remember this, smile. So you know, walk around like a clown. My cynicism instantly kicked in, right? Because I had this preconceived notion. People are going to think I'm a clown. Walk around grinning like an idiot. But I tried it. And the author may not have known it, but that conscious awareness to smile is the same spirit that the Holy Spirit tells me, be ye glad. And so I try and smile more. Not always, but I try to. There was another practice where they say every time you think about it, close your eyes and try to think of somebody in your life or in your view and pray for what they didn't say prayer. They said, think about how much you want them to be happy. It's like a mystic mumbo jump. Then maybe my crystals are rubbing together and we're all happy. But that person's wisdom and insight comes from the same spirit that I feel when I'm praying and the Holy Spirit reminds me of the love of Christ or the love of my family. It's the same thing. And when I'm doing that, when I'm thinking about how I want this person to be happy, when I focus on, I want Steve to be happy and healthy, I'm acting in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And guess what happens to me? I become happier. We got to shift our perspective. We got to shift our thinking. Not for anybody else out there. For our own sake. Poor people can be happy. Rich people can be happy. It's not about what's out there. It's about what's in here. I'm going to read a real quick Bible verse. It's one of my favorites. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus is talking to his parables, or talking to his disciples in parables. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last fruit to the first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them was also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. There's a lot of ways you can read into that. But one of the messages that I receive is that people constantly compare themselves to others. They're constantly thinking about what they're owed. They're constantly thinking about what they're not getting. And they are not thinking about how grateful they should be for what they have. At work, I work hard. And so do the other teachers. I presume I would imagine were hard because being a teacher is hard. But there was one of my coworkers who has been working remotely, and they started doing their work from home because they could do it without having to come to the workplace. My job had changed not at all. I was still working the same job that I liked, still working as hard as I ever had. And the fulfillment that I had should have remained the same. But because my journey is not over, I allowed the devil to lie to me. And the devil started pointing out every time I drove up to work, not seeing this person's car. And I started thinking, it must be nice to get to be able to work from home. Imagine I'm still in my PJs, working from home, instead of here, in this cold, frigid icebox. It must be real nice. And then the devil started whispering all of these other things that I didn't perceive to be the words of the devil just yet. Right? They sounded like completely rational thoughts. Yeah, I am here, and they're not here. Rational scientific thoughts, measurements and data. But there's no happiness in there. I'm that first laborer who's thinking about how hard I work and what I deserve, what I owe. You understand? If they let me work from home, I would just think of another thing to complain about. I started working at a restaurant called the C&O Trattoria, and when I first started working there, I had come from a place where I was making about $100 a day on tips. That's how servers make our money, with tips. And when I started working at the C&O Trattoria, I saw these guys were making $300 a night, easy, and sometimes more than that. And I heard them grumbling to themselves. And I was like, well, you're making like $300 or more in 5 hours slinging garlic knots. Be grateful. Ooh, can't believe these guys. But wouldn't you know it? After 6 months working there, got home and my wife asked me how it was work. Oh, you will never believe what happened. I started complaining about who got what section and who got what table and how much they made and how little I made. You understand? Because I was still in that spirit of comparing, not being grateful for what I had. It didn't matter if I had gotten a better job where I was making $500 a night or $1,000 a night. If you're in that attitude, if you're listening to the lies of the devil like that, there's no job, there's no amount of money, because you just become accustomed to whatever the new thing is. But if you can focus on being grateful for the things that you have and already happy, then when you get that extra money or you get that better job, it's overflowing, it's abundant. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit. When you are behaving in that way, the dollar amount isn't what's important. The Bible says, press down, shaken together, and overflowing by your standard of measure, how you measure things. Or does that say measure? If you measure things by out there, you're always going to find them lacking. Your car's never going to be nice enough. Your kids are never going to be well-behaved enough. Your boss is never going to be good enough. There's always something that sucks. But if we can tend to business, if we can focus our attention and our thoughts inside, then the abundance is already there. My daughter turned 13 on Thursday. And she got a bunch of Hello Kitty stuff. So if you see a blonde dressed head to toe in pink, that's Judy. And she turned to me, and we were having so much fun. And we were loving and hugging, and lighting candles and doing all that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh man, this is so great. And then she turned to me and she says, Dad, now I'm a teenager. And as soon as she said that, it was like, I don't know if you see like those movies where like the hallway gets real long. And then she was like talking to me. And I was thinking, but then you're a teen. Wait, what that means? And then I got terrified. I was in the same place, but I had shifted to a whole other realm. Instead of love and compassion and thanksgiving, it was fear and loathing. It was scary. It was dark. And I started thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to go to high school. She's going to be like 16. She has a boyfriend. I'm going to kill this guy that I'm going to jail. Right? She's going to grow up. She's going to leave me. I'm going to die alone. Right? The thoughts just go out of control. And so instead of being right now, right here, loving her and living with what I've got, with the thing that should make me happy, the time's passing. I'm being robbed of it. You understand? That memory, that experience, that love, that happiness, that peace, I'm being robbed of it by the lie of the enemy. She's getting older, Dave. You know that? She's getting older. She's going to leave one day. You know that, right? What if she starts to resent you? She likes spending time with you now, but she's 17. She's not going to spend time with you. She doesn't. The time that I had is so precious to me. I'm losing it. They're taking it. How many other things like that are stolen from us? How many moments? How many relationships? How much peace and goodness have been robbed from us? We can't let him do it. He can only do it in as much as we let him. And we will not let him anymore. But to keep him from doing it, we got to flip our awareness. We have to be linked in with the Holy Spirit through our prayer time, through our conscious awareness, through our actions and our behaviors. Tend to it. Tend to business. Don't give yourself the easy out. Somebody says, you got to stay in the moment. I like cliche. Don't let him use that to rob you. You have everything you need right now to be happy. Tend to it. Remember it. Hold on to it. And be aware of the lies. Be aware of the lies and be first to think if you should change. And when the Holy Spirit is leading you to change, change. Don't fear it. There is no way that you can imagine right now how the Holy Spirit will grow you. When I smoked cigarettes, I could not see a world in which I didn't. I can't even tell you, those of you who never smoked, you don't know what it's like. But I woke up and I smoked. I drove cars and I smoked. I would drink coffee and I smoked. I'd eat and then I'd smoke. I one time had to go on a flight for like 7 hours and they wouldn't let me smoke. I thought, I'm going to strangle this person next to me if I don't get a cigarette. To those of you who never smoked, it's like, this is a guy, a crazy person. But those of you who've been in it, and I remember thinking, how am I ever going to live my life without this? I'm not an idiot. I knew it was bad for me. Surgeon General, I knew it was bad for me, but I did it anyways because the devil had so completely blinded me that I could not imagine a world where I didn't smoke. I haven't smoked in years. You may not be able to imagine a life where you're happy and peaceful, but you can be. You can be. You may not imagine a world where you get along with your boss, but you can. You may not be able to imagine a world where your daughter cleans her room, but you can. It is there. You may not see the path there, but all you have to do is be dutiful. Tend to business. Be courageous when he calls you to change. Be dutiful about your prayer times. Do not think of them as a chore. They're your reload button. They're your reset. They're your refresh button. Flip the script that the enemy is trying to run on your life. My daughter is getting older, and I'm going to enjoy every glorious moment from now until the end. In 200 years when I die in the Android Wars. I may have created that one. But whenever it is, I'm going to enjoy it And when my daughter doesn't clean her room, I'm going to pray to the Lord and seek guidance on how to help her do that. Instead of thinking about how she doesn't do this one thing that I asked her and robbing of the thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. You've given me this wonderful person in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. Imagine somebody who's living in 1660 in England, dying of the plague. What would they give or do to have your life? Somebody starving in Yemen, what would they do to have your life? And yet I wake up and grumble from 8 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. You'll never believe. I was driving to the school today. This person, I was driving 35, they cut in front of me. Now I'm going 25. Can you believe it? Then when I got to work, guess what? This person who I thought should be there wasn't there. Huh. Is there no end to the trials that I must endure? Is there no end to the punishment? I live a blessed life. I live a blessed life with good people, in a good place, with a good Lord. I'm not going to be robbed of it. Be alert, be aware. The enemy's traps, and give thanks for the goodness that he has wrought in your life. I got my denarius. I'm good with that. I cannot be focused on all the other things. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this week. And be mindful of your blessings. And give thanks, not because he wants them. Give thanks because it'll remind you of the goodness in your life. We praise him not because he wants us to. We praise him because when I think of all the good things in my life, I say, thank you, Jesus. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done for you. It's so good. It's so good. God, remember. God, remember. You may not have You may not have the same strengths and weaknesses that I do, but you have the same resources I have. I've gotten better in my prayer times. I found something that works for me. I'm not done yet. I'm going to find better ways. The ways that work for me may not work for you, but be diligent to look for ways. The devil will try and lie to you about your exercise and work, your diet and your prayer time. That's because he wants you in the ground. He wants you unhappy. He wants you resentful and salty, as the kids would say. He's got a whole plan laid out. He's got traps and lies and countermeasures. He wants you thinking of all the things that other people should do. He wants you thinking of all the bad things in the world. He wants you thinking of all of the things that you should get that you're being kept from. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes and you'll see the blessings. And if you're diligent to seek him day after day after day, he'll show you the path. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many who go down it. Because they're not diligent. Not because they're bad people. They're going to heaven with the rest of us, but they live in misery. They live in fear. They live in resentment and greed. All manner of unhappiness. If you're diligent, he leads you one step at a time. And the more you walk in it, the more you'll say, thank you, Lord. Not for him, you. If I can love my children in the way that I do, how much more can He love us? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Reach out and take it. Take it. Take it. I'm taking it, dude. Taking it. Taking it now. Taking it yesterday. Tomorrow. Glorious relationship with my daughter. And a clean room! But first, I'm going to have a wonderful Thanksgiving feast. Thank you for coming. Hope you get as much out of it as I do. It's good. It's good and it's right. Close in prayer.